every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 33rd year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. And Chris, this is a question I have for you, kind of a sports question. Do you think Tennessee's going to bounce back from that horrible loss to Georgia? Boy, that was painful.
I had to make peace with Tennessee's up and down performances many, many, many years ago. They were very good when I was growing up in Knoxville, and then they kind of hit an up and down streak, and that's where they've been ever since. So I've kind of given up on hoping for a national championship.
Boy, that was a tough one to take. Plenty of news to talk about in the car business this week. Ram has decided to shut down development of a vehicle it was once very high on. We'll tell you what that is and give our reactions to that coming up. Toyota is recalling nearly 700,000 vehicles, including all of its battery electric vehicles. It's possible one of the recalled vehicles is in your driveway, so we'll have the details that could keep you safe. The U.S. Congress is moving to curb catalytic converter thefts that are plaguing the nation. We have tons of that here in Southern California. We'll have more information on their plan coming up. Lucid Motors and Uber have inked a robo-taxi deal that could prove to be a lifeline for the struggling EV maker. We'll have more on that. So a lot to talk about, Chris. Any of these just pique your interest?
I like the Ram truck story, Jack. I wrote about it yesterday, and there's some interesting things there. So I'm happy to talk about that one.
Yeah, that is a fascinating one. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Only One Thing Stays the Same, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. As you longtime listeners of the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, and how you can save some money on your car. Chris, what is your test vehicle this week?
I spent the week behind the wheel of the 2026 Chevrolet Silverado EV Trail Boss. It's an all-new trim for 2026, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Fascinating. My test vehicle this week is the 2026 Honda Passport Trail Sport, so I'll tell you all about that. Our special guest this week is a friend of the show, Sam Fiorani, a terrific guy. He serves as Vice President of Global Vehicle Forecasting for Auto Forecast Solutions, and we're going to be talking about the end of the EV tax credits. That's coming up at the end of this month, so we'll see what effect that has on EV sales. So stay with us. We have tons of show for you, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you bought that TV in the parking lot. It just happened to not come in a box or include a remote. And when you finally managed to turn it on, all it displayed was the menu of Grumpy's Tacos. So use Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
Our office computers were from like 2012.
What? They had computers then?
Yeah, I don't know much about new tech.
Apparently.
So I went to Staples and saved big on an AI-powered HP laptop and HP OfficeJet Pro printer, which also came with 3 months of free Instant Ink.
And we're back in this century. During Staples HP Tech Event, save up to 35% on HP printers and up to 40% on AI-powered HP PCs.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app. Int 11-1, select models only.
Let me tell you about this new pretzel cheddar club.
Hey, I'm Carlos.
And I'm Ebony.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Pretzel Cheddar Club
is the tangy Dijon with the pretzel bun. It takes it to a whole nother level.
It goes perfectly with the chicken and the cheddar cheese and the bacon.
Man, you know how much you love bacon. And I love the different varieties, grilled, spicy, original. It gets you nice and excited for fall.
Order the Pretzel Cheddar Club with Cherry Berry and Sprite for a limited time on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
No big deal, but you've been earning Kohl's Cash for 20 years. That's two decades of checkout wins. To celebrate, enter our month-long sweepstakes for a chance to win $200 in Kohl's Cash. Plus, save on fall faves during the customer appreciation event now. Yep, two decades of Kohl's Cash is a big deal. Shop Kohl's and brag accordingly. Coupon ends September 21st. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Sweepstakes end September 30th, 2025. No purchase necessary. 20 winners per day. Limit one prize per person for entire sweepstakes. See Kohl's.com for official rules and details.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad, along with Chris Teague, with you for news time. And an interesting news story that has piqued Chris Teague's interest and mine, too. Ram is essentially ash canning their battery electric pickup truck. This is a vehicle that we have talked about a lot on the show. They have talked a lot about it, Ram and Stellantis. They announced this week that they will end development of the battery electric Ram truck. And it's kind of an interesting take, isn't it? I know you've written about it. Tell us your thoughts.
I think that there are probably two things that Ram is seeing with this truck that's making them change their mind. They're probably way more than what I'm analyzing here. But, you know, buyer demand is one thing. They're seeing that expensive EVs aren't selling the way that a lot of people had hoped. And then also, it just took them a really long time to get this truck to market. I mean, it wasn't even scheduled until, late next year at the earliest.
Yeah.
And all the other trucks have been on the market for a while, and this is just not that exciting anymore.
Yeah, I think a lot of the trucks have been on the market, and I don't know that they're setting the world on fire. I think things like the Ford F-150 Lightning are doing okay, and you're going to be talking about the Silverado EV later in the show, so we can talk about that. Ram is going to have, I guess you would call it, they call it a range extender. I would essentially call it a hybrid, right? Plug-in hybrid. Ram 1500 REV is what they're going to call what they had previously called the Ram Charger, which I think maybe was a better name. I don't know. But what were your thoughts on that?
I think this gets them around some of the range anxiety issues, but what I don't think it does is gets them past the perception of their buyers, right? Like, this is the brand that was built on the Hemi V8. The buyers raised hell when they got rid of it, and now they brought it back, and now they're trying to sell an electric truck. Range extended or not, I think it's going to be a hard sell for Ram buyers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we both like that new six-cylinder engine, the turbocharged six-cylinder engine that they have. But at the same time, truck buyers indicated that they weren't all that excited about that. And I think a lot of truck buyers were excited when Ram brought back the Hemi V8 after a very short hiatus. It's interesting where Ram's going to go. I mean, they certainly hang their hat on things like luxury. They have some very luxurious personal use trucks, like this tungsten trim. They also have the Cummins diesel. So there's certainly some good reasons to consider Ram trucks. I don't know that an electric vehicle or the lack of an electric vehicle is going to hurt them very much.
Yeah, and the range extended truck that they're selling or will be selling still has some pretty decent specs. I think it tows 10,000 plus pounds when it's properly equipped and those sort of things. I think that people who like the V8 sound, like the V8, the sensation of that engine are going to miss that. And the V6 isn't even connected to the drive wheels. It just powers the, generates electricity to charge the battery. So I think it's going to be some education that they need to do with buyers.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, even truck buyers, don't really have a sense of how the drivetrain works. I guess the typical truck operates very conventionally, right? But some of these newer vehicles and these hybrids, et cetera, operate in a different way, and maybe that's lost on people. They go six-cylinder and go, I don't want a six, I want a V8. Let's talk about Toyota recalling nearly 700,000 vehicles in the United States. More than 590,000 Toyota and Lexus models are being recalled for a malfunctioning infotainment system. The 12.3-inch instrument panel display can prevent the screen from turning on at startup or go blank while driving, potentially leaving drivers, you know, kind of at a loss. I mean, in theory, I would think that if your infotainment screen went out, you could still drive the vehicle. But what's your take on that, Chris?
I think a lot of it probably has to do with the backup camera and the available information for it to meet the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards, the FMVSS. But, you know, you're not supposed to rely on those things solely as your driving assistance technology. But once you get used to it being there, even if you're still using your eyes, it's still an inconvenience and could present a safety problem for it to be blank.
Yeah. Big, important, and, you know, highly sold vehicles are involved in this. The Toyota Camry, the Toyota RAV4. I think the RAV4 is the best-selling vehicle in the United States. The Toyota Tacoma pickup truck, the Toyota Grand Highlander. There are Lexus LS, RX, and TX models also involved in this. It will be fixed free. The other recall was nearly 95,000 electric vehicles, which happens to be virtually all of the electric vehicles that Toyota has put out there into the marketplace, the Toyota BZ4X, the Lexus RZ, and of course the Subaru Solterra, which is the twin of the BZ4X. It's not a Toyota product, but it's also being recalled. These have windshield defrosters that may not work well, so then you have visibility problems. I get that. And of course, the defroster in an electric vehicle doesn't work the same way a defroster in a conventional vehicle works, right?
Yeah, these are my favorite kinds of recalls, like the ones that are just kind of, they sound silly on paper, but they end up being, you know, an issue that needs to be fixed. But it is interesting that Toyota, you know, they've done pretty well with recalls on the EVs so far to date, hybrids as well. So it's interesting to see so many of them pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, a catalytic converter theft is a big problem here in Southern California, where I live, and I'm wondering if it's a big problem in Maine. There's a move now, to a federal move, which is interesting, to try and curb that a bit. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm sure that there are some catalytic converter thefts. I live in a smaller town, and you know it doesn't really happen here, but it has become a very annoying problem for my friends down south and for you guys on the West Coast. So I think anything to help here would be great.
I mean, we've had instances out here where somebody will see the catalytic converter being stolen from their vehicle, go out and confront the criminals, which not necessarily the wisest thing in the world to do, and end up dead, you know, end up shot by the people who are stealing the catalytic converter. I mean, that's the kind of issue this is. I guess the thieves can get something like $350 for each catalytic converter that they sell on the black market. If you have to replace it, it'll cost you maybe well over $1,000. So the fix is, and it's not that big a fix, but is at least to have the vehicle's vehicle identification number, the VIN, put directly onto the catalytic converters so they can be traced a bit. I think we've had that kind of instance here. We had an instance here, in fact, it happened to me, where the third row seats of Chevrolet Tahoes were being stolen, you know, just all the time. And then you would get the insurance settlement, go into a place that had a bunch of third row seats. It seemed like I was buying back my own seats at that point, you know, and I'm wondering if the same kind of thing is going to happen with the catalytic converters.
Yeah, I'm sure it's happening, you know, less than reputable shops, people trying to save money. But I've heard some of these things, you know, people imprinting the VIN on their catalytic converter, installing cage systems around this and all that. But When you start getting into like personal safety, you mentioned people getting shot while trying to stop the thefts. That's a problem for me beyond a few dollars for a new catalytic converter.
Yeah. And, you know, word to the wise, don't be confronting criminals because God knows what they're going to do. I mean, I'm a little leery about even honking at somebody who commits some kind of egregious traffic problem in front of me. For that reason. Well, Lucid and Uber are going have inked a deal. They finalized a $300 million partnership to advance autonomous ride hailing. This is something that, you know, Lucid had not been participating in up till now, at least to my knowledge. But maybe this is a market for the Gravity SUV that we reported on years, it seems like a couple of years ago, and has yet to really come to market. I'm curious as to what you think about all this.
Yeah, Lucid has pretty significant financial backing, but it's never really been the most successful startup automaker. So this could be a good way for them to get, as you said, some of those Gravities into someone's hands so that
yeah,
they can
right.
sell a few units. But it is interesting to see this announcement because, as you said, Lucid has been very quiet about its driving assistance technologies. It's not been out testing vehicles like Tesla has and the others. So I'm interested to see how and where this is implemented and how far along they are on this road of development.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And, of course, these driverless taxis are, I guess, the coming thing. We're seeing a lot more of them here in Southern California. So that's coming up. When we come back, we will have two very cool road test vehicles. You're going to be testing the Chevrolet Silverado EV, and I think in a new trim, right?
Yes, it's the new Trail Boss trim. It's an off-road model. It's new for 2026. It's got some big tires and interesting features. I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that off-road EV truck and your review of that. You know, I was driving a vehicle that also has some off-road aspirations, the Honda Passport Trail Sport. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jackie Redd back with you, along with Chris Teague. And Chris, you have a really interesting view. I'm really curious to hear what you have to say about the Chevrolet Silverado EV, especially in this special off-road form. Tell us about it.
Yes, I tested the Trail Boss trim. It's new for 2026. Taking a step back, Jack, you can get into this truck for around $55,000. That's the basic work truck. So for that money, you get vinyl upholstery, vinyl floors, a white paint job, and a pretty basic pickup truck. My Trail Boss with the max range battery, which is the most expensive battery you can get, came in at just over $90,000. So it's quite a spread of pricing. Whoa. For this vehicle. But there's also a spread of features here, Jack. Have you driven the Silverado EV? And if so, what do you think?
I believe I drove one in North American Car of the Year. That my only exposure to it, and a very short exposure, it seemed like it was just fine. But again, like I say, it was a short time with it, so I didn't have to deal with with all the electric aspects of it, really, or get the chance to take it off-road.
Yeah, some of the electric aspects might be the most impressive parts of this vehicle. The base work truck, as I mentioned before, is not only the cheapest, but it still comes with pretty good range. It's a 286-mile base range for this vehicle, which is, I think, the same range as my Honda Prologue, which is the top trim of that vehicle. So just to show you where that goes. My max range battery test vehicle, though, offers 478 miles of range per charge. So that makes it one of the longest range vehicles on sale. I think maybe Lucid is one of the only ones that beats it. But that's a great addition for this vehicle. The Trail Boss adds lifted suspension, 35-inch tires on 18-inch wheels, and you get some off-road drive modes with this vehicle too. One of the interesting things here, Jack, and I want to get your opinion on the acceleration of this vehicle, even though this is the off-road trim, you still have the Watts to Freedom, the WTF acceleration mode. What do you think about the speed of these trucks? I mean, given their size.
It's kind of uncanny, right? I mean, it's almost otherworldly to really step on the accelerator on these things and see how quickly they can go from 0 to 60 or how quickly they accelerate. I mean, it kind of sears your eyeballs in some ways.
It does. It's almost unsettling to feel that sort of acceleration in a vehicle that sits that tall with 35-inch tires, but it could be a blast, I guess, if you really wanted it to be. This vehicle also gets some of the goodies from the Hummer EV. It rides on the same platform. It's very similar underneath. It gets four-wheel steering and also a diagonal driving mode. I think Hummer calls it crab walk. Maybe Rivian calls it that. But it basically allows the vehicle to drive at like a 45-degree angle to go around off-road obstacles. It's a really neat thing. I couldn't find a reason to use it in town, but I'm sure that people have a good reason.
I think tight parking, parallel parking spaces are where they show it off.
Yeah, maybe. So these New England streets are not very friendly for a vehicle of this size, though, I can tell you right. That. One of the things I want to point out here, and it's most interesting about the driving experience here, is that this vehicle uses General Motors Ultium battery and platform technology, which is the same technology that underpins my Honda Prologue. It's made by General Motors. The driving experience between the Ultium-powered vehicles is so similar that driving the Silverado EV feels almost exactly the same as driving the Prologue or driving the Acura ZDX. The only difference there is the size and the weight of the vehicle that you're feeling. It doesn't mean it's bad. There's nothing wrong with it at all. It's just, it's a fine driving experience, Jack. I don't want to give you the impression that
You get the impression that every electric vehicle feels kind of like every other electric vehicle?
I do, but I think the difference here for me is that the sizes of these vehicles are different, but they still drive so similarly that they're not completely interchangeable, but they're close.
Interesting.
Inside, you get a 17.7-inch touchscreen, a large digital gauge cluster here. Google built-in is standard, but one of the things you don't get, or two of the things you don't get, are Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. And General Motors will tell you that their interface is just as good, that everything works just fine. And in practice, in most ways, it does work just fine. But what you get is a very basic Bluetooth music interface, which makes it difficult to navigate your songs and your podcasts and things like that. And Jack, I know we talk about how difficult infotainment systems can be to use at times, but I think Apple CarPlay and Android Auto fulfill a purpose, even if they can be annoying for automakers. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they do, because we use our phones all the time, right? We use our phones a lot more than we use our cars, typically. So understanding your phone is pretty basic. We also, sometimes we keep our phones, some of us do, a lot longer than we keep our cars. That's not possible for me, because I think the car that we have in our household predates cell phones, practically.
Rotary phones, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So like I said, the functionality is there. It works. You know, you can figure it out. But what you get instead of a clean interface is basically a list of folders that don't make sense, and it's hard to navigate through at first. So I really would love to see an addition of this feature back to these vehicles at some point in the future. I know why they did it, but it is not a good user experience. So I think that they could improve it by adding those features back. You get a full suite of safety features here too, blind spot monitoring with rear cross traffic alerts, adaptive cruise control, and this vehicle, this trim is available with General Motors Super Cruise, so you can do hands-free driving on the highway, but that's not available for every Silverado EV trim. So Jack, I enjoy this vehicle. I like electric vehicles. I like electric trucks. I think $90,000+ is way out of my budget. But if you could get into an LT model of this, which is the sort of lower end trim, and still get many of the features for around $60,000, $70,000, you'd be doing pretty well.
What is your sense of just the utility using that truck as a truck, right? Using it as a pickup truck.
Yeah, so you don't get a long bed option in this vehicle. You only get the crew cab short bed body style. It does have the flex mid-gate, which allows you to fold down the space between the cab and the bed to fit longer items. But it is a little shorter, and it does have, I don't know what they're called, some body style things on the side that make it look like the Chevy Avalanche, which do reduce some of the utility. But it's still pretty useful as a truck.
I'm glad to hear that. And an interesting report, interesting vehicle. I look forward to driving one maybe someday. I'd like to tell you about the 2026 Honda Passport Trail Sport. And of course, a couple of years ago, I think Honda decided they'd climb on this bandwagon of everybody making off-road, at least off-road appearance packages on various SUVs. They have done that with the Passport, and the Trail Sport is the result. They kind of got dinged for the first version of this because it was, you know, just kind of like putting on off-road clothes, right? Like you put on Columbia gear and suddenly you're a hiker or something, you know, which isn't quite the case. This time around, I think they've changed it enough to make it, give it some kind of credibility for off-road. I wouldn't say this is a heavy-duty off-roader, and I don't think Jeep has anything to worry about from the Passport Trail Sport. But it's a pretty good-looking vehicle. This is a two-row, five-passenger vehicle, typically, conventionally powered, or very conventionally powered, as I will get into in a little bit. Let's talk about the outside. You know, it has Trail Sport badging, of course. It has black mirror caps and door handles. It has what Honda describes as a more aggressive front grille, and it has dual exhaust finishers. Those are swell. 18-inch wheels and all-terrain tires, so there is some added capability there. It has roof rails, of course, that kind of thing. What is your take on the looks of this thing, and just kind of on this overall idea of these kind of off-road-looking vehicles?
Yeah, I never loved the previous generation Honda grille, the sort of slanted nose that they have. I like the more upright look that they gave the Passport and the Pilot and also the Ridgeline, so good job there. And, you know, we've talked about this a bunch of times on the show. Whether it can go off-road or not, it's probably irrelevant to 90% of the people who buy this vehicle. It's the look that it could do those things that matters to a lot of buyers. And I think Honda hit the nail on the head with the styling there.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Under the hood, it sticks with the 3.5-liter V6 engine, an engine that has had some quality problems dating back a little bit. We've seen some recalls, I think, on this engine in other vehicles. But it delivers 280 horsepower, 262 pound-feet of torque. This is very, very conventional, right? We're not seeing a lot of V6-powered vehicles, a lot of turbos in this space these days. It's mated to a 9-speed automatic transmission, and then it has a torque vectoring all-wheel drive system, which in some instances, I always kind of looked at this system as being an on-road system rather than an off-road system, but I think they've tuned it a bit for off-road, and it works reasonably well there. Again, this is not something that you're going to get deep into doing Wrangler level or rock crawling or something like that. I would describe it as maybe trail capable. So that would be okay. It also has a traction management system. It has snow, sand, and mud modes, so that stuff is good. I don't typically use those modes a lot, maybe because I'm mostly driving on the street, but are you a mode selector kind of guy, or do you just kind of let it go?
I'm not. You know, I think that they changed the throttle feel and the behavior of the vehicle enough that I'm more comfortable leaving it in normal and using my senses to navigate than trying to rely on a computer.
Yeah, I'd rather drive the vehicle myself as opposed to have the vehicle help me out a bunch and maybe not help me so much. As I say, this vectors torque, so that's good in terms of off-road and on-road handling. The ride and handling is pretty good. This has very good ride quality. I think there's a nice combination, despite the fact that it has all-terrain tires. They're not noisy, and ride is generally good. Of course, a lot of times off-road tuned suspensions offer pretty good, comfortable ride quality on the road, so that's good. Steering is light in the Honda tradition. Maybe too light for some people's take, but certainly capable there. Inside the cabin, it sets itself apart style-wise. It has leather-trimmed seats, heated front seats, heated leather-wrapped steering wheel, 10-way power-adjustable driver's seat with 2-way lumbar support. So this is up level. It has tri-zone automatic climate control. The infotainment system works fine, but it's one of those, when my wife says fine, I don't think she means it's wonderful. Only an 8-inch touchscreen, so I was kind of surprised by that in an era when we're seeing much larger touchscreens. Overall, I think this is a good vehicle. It's not really hugely expensive. A little under $50,000, $47,500, including destination for the Trail Sport Elite, which is the top level. What's your quick take on that?
I think the pricing is decent. It puts it in competition where it needs to be, and you do get a lot for your money.
Yeah. So I think it's a good vehicle to take a look at. I think they've kind of nailed the outside exterior styling. And when we come back, we will be speaking with Sam Fiorani, who is the Vice President of Global Vehicle Forecasting at Auto Forecast Solutions. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back.
Transforming your land with a John Deere compact tractor is as easy as connect, latch, load, haul, spread. Cutting grass is as simple as roll, click, mow. Box blading is as effortless as hook, lock, grade. And backhoeing is as convenient as turnaround, switch, dig. Because when you've got the versatility to tackle just about any job and dealer support in your own backyard, you just have to get in the seat. Find the right compact tractor for you at johndeere.com.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hey, want to hear something great? Right now at Wendy's, you can get 2 of the number one selling bacon cheeseburger in all fast food, the JBC, plus medium fries and a medium soft drink for just $8. Want to hear something else great? Double the burger means double the bacon. Now that's a game changer. 2 of the number one bacon cheeseburgers with fries and a drink for just $8. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Request $8 JBC meal deal to obtain discount. Individual items at regular price.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack, you're right back with you. We have a terrific guest. I consider him a friend, even though I don't think we've ever met face-to-face, Sam Fiorani. Thanks for being with us. You are Vice President, as you well know, of Global Vehicle Forecasting at Auto Forecast Solutions. Thanks for being with us.
Always glad to be here.
Yeah. You know, this is kind of a monumental time, or certainly a landmark time in the auto industry, because we're coming to the end of electric vehicle tax credits that have been in effect, well over a decade. I think probably something like 15 or 16 years, something on that order, maybe longer. And I'm kind of curious as to your take on the effect of this. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, these tax credits, which started way back in the Obama administration, have propped up this transition to EVs. Everybody thinks it's encouraging people to buy them, but it is encouraging people to buy them, but also encouraging the manufacturers to supply these vehicles as the industry transitions. With or without the tax credit, the global industry was transitioning to EVs, and this just helped the American industry move it along. The $7,500 credit always went to the manufacturer. Even though it looks like it comes to the consumer, it always went to the manufacturer. It allowed the manufacturers to increase their prices by $7,500. So the end price is always going to be what the consumer will pay. And if the price is $7,000 more after the tax credits, well, that means fewer consumers are going to step up to buy these vehicles. It just increased the volume. It allowed the manufacturers to produce more, and it allowed them to raise the prices so that they could pay off this transition.
And really, it, along with the other regulations, the fuel economy regulations, really pushed electric vehicles maybe beyond what they would have been in terms of market share, even in terms of being in existence in some cases, beyond what they would have been without those. And now they're essentially going away. Where are we going to stand with this? I think we've seen EV market share, something like 8 or 9% these days. Where is it going to go, say, in October, November, December?
Yeah, the market share currently is around 8%, and it has been there for about 2 years. But the market itself all depends on what the manufacturers want to do. If the manufacturers want to maintain this volume of EV production, then we're going to see rebates, leasing incentives, anything to keep the price down into the current price after the tax credits. If the manufacturers don't see a need to keep those volumes up and want to decrease their production and decrease their risk on EVs, you'll see the prices going higher. Unlikely they'll go to the full $7,500 before the $7,500 discount, but we're going to see it at some level, because these manufacturers have already paid for plants. They've already paid for battery facilities. They've already paid for most of this transition. And so backing off on that will just risk all this investment they've already made and turn off a lot of consumers. The consumers are there for EVs. It's just how many are willing to pay $7,000 more after October rolls around.
Right. What do you think your prediction is for EVs, though, for market share? I've heard others suggest, in fact, I talked to my friends at J.D. Power recently. One of them suggested that maybe 4% of market is more like what EVs would command without the tax credits. What are your thoughts on that, Sam?
Like I said, the tax credits were just an incentive for manufacturers to make more vehicles. Without the tax incentives, the manufacturers would have lost more money. I can't imagine that it would only be down at 4%, but it's somewhere between those two, between 4 and 8 or 9%. Mm-hmm. Going forward, we're going to still see increases in this. We may see a drop in the next 6 months or 9 months, but we're going to see this market share pick up again once manufacturers have decided how many vehicles to put out there, how many vehicles they want to build, and how enthusiastic they are to transition out of internal combustion engines eventually.
Right.
It's a good idea to be on the cutting edge of that rather than wait for Chinese to meet you in every other market outside of the United States and just have the leg up on them.
Yeah, well, I suppose that is a point of view. It strikes me, though, that a company like Toyota is taking the opposite point of view, right? I mean, they are not at the forefront of EVs. They've had some EVs. They have some EVs in the U.S. market. But they certainly have not put their eggs in the EV basket to the way that, for example, General Motors has, Ford Motor Company to some extent, even Kia and Hyundai. Talk about that a little bit. Where do you think various manufacturers stand? Because I think there's big differences in stance on this. It's not like a unilateral movement to EVs from all the manufacturers.
The impetus for any manufacturer was for emissions, to capture the emissions regulations ahead of time and get their vehicles out there. Toyota has had 25 years of building hybrids. So their fuel economy was already better than most manufacturers to start with. And when you're a company like Stellantis or Ford or General Motors that relies on a large portion of V8 engines to make your money for your market share, you're going to need those EVs to offset that. And Toyota has a lot of four cylinders, a lot of economical six cylinders, and a lot of hybrids already in the market. So their risk was already lower, and they had less of a need to transition to EVs immediately. But longer term, that they're going to need to make that move. Their idea was that they were going to jump right from hybrids to fuel cells. And we're just not seeing the infrastructure for hydrogen. We're not seeing the greenness of hydrogen. And we're not seeing the affordability of the gas. So until those things happen, fuel cells are still going to be in the future. We're looking at 2030, 2040, somewhere way out before somebody figures out how to do this.
On that note, though, Sam, I mean, we're really not seeing the economics for electric vehicles still. I mean, we're seeing them premium priced. They're not as useful. They're not as versatile as a gasoline-powered vehicle or even diesels, for that matter. It's kind of interesting that you have something that's has less utility but is costs a lot more. I don't know that the mass market is going to adopt that in any kind of numbers, even going forward. I mean, what's your take on that?
On the contrary, I think EVs fit 95 to 99% of every owner's needs. If you're going to drive cross country, EVs are going to be impractical. But most drivers don't drive more than 100 or on the upper end 200 miles in a day. And in those cases, an EV can transition to that person. As long as you have a plug at home and you're driving less than, say, 200 miles in a day, it's very practical. It's impractical for apartment dwellers who are very unlikely to have a charging system at home. Condos probably are not going to have the charging system. But we're going to see these things move into the mainstream going forward. You're going to see apartment buildings with plugs. You're going to see condos with plugs. It makes more sense. It doesn't make sense if you're charging on the road, and that's the problem with driving longer distances.
Well, and as you well know, I mean, people buy vehicles not only for what they're doing every day, because if they were buying vehicles for what they do every day, everybody would drive a Honda Civic or a Toyota Corolla, right? I mean, they drive alone. Even that's maybe too much car for them because they have five seats and they're only going to use one seat. But you know well that people buy vehicles way more for way more than what they actually need. That's why we see everybody driving SUVs, for example. I just don't see that changing, and I don't see people paying a premium for stuff that just doesn't work well for that one instance or two instances a year when you want to go to grandma's house that's 500 miles away, and you just can't do it in your own personal car. I mean, that's a turnoff to a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Most people, a lot of people buy pickup trucks. Most people buy SUVs anymore. And while SUVs can be made, SUVs and crossovers can be made as a practical EV, if you're using a pickup truck the way it's designed to be used, an EV is not practical at the moment. They're trying to find ways to do that. Stellantis is working on extended range electrics, which makes a lot of sense in this case because you get the torque, you don't have the emissions of diesel, and you get the emissions-free driving occasionally when you're not using the engine. That is a nice mix of the two. But for most people who decide they're going to drive their F-150 to the office and back every day, it's kind of a problem with transitioning them to EVs. They want it for more than the practicality of driving. They want it for the command of the road. They want it for the sound that the Hemi engine makes. They want it for all these other reasons that are less practical and more what your personal tastes
are. Yeah, I mean, people buy vehicles for emotional reasons, much more so than utilitarian reasons.
That's why we have so many on the market. If we didn't have those tastes, we'd have one vehicle out there.
Right. Let's talk about the new tax credits or the new tax policy that's coming into effect that essentially, in some ways, subsidizes American-made, U.S.-made production. Talk about your thoughts about what effect that's going to have going forward.
Well, the tariffs now to pull production into the U.S. is a great idea, but it's heavy-handed, and it doesn't take into consideration that the automotive industry currently is global. If you pull it into one country or another, then you remove all the benefits that you get from sourcing components to where they're best made or least cost. And getting the volume up to a certain point to make money on these vehicles entails pulling the parts in from Canada, from Mexico, from South Korea, from Japan, from all over the world. And if you don't do that, then not only do you raise the price of the vehicles, but you limit the selection. You're not going to see these niche vehicles that come in from Europe or Asia, but you're going to eliminate all the things that need a certain volume for economies of scale. There's only so many Lexus LSs are going to be sold in the U.S., and it's a very low number.
Right.
But we get them because they build more of them in Japan and sell them to other countries. So we're going to see things like that disappear.
Yeah, it strikes me that the tariff policy has been more bluff than actual incorporation into what's actually happening. But there has been tax policy, too. I mean, now going forward, consumers will get some kind of tax break based on the interest they're paying if they're buying a U.S.-made vehicle. What effect do you think that's going to have?
It wasn't tailored to American vehicle buyers, but we had this tax credit before. And during the Reagan administration, I believe it was, they removed it. There was a reason that they saw the need to not have these credits in your taxes. This one is to encourage local sales, but it's not going to help a lot of people because most everyday buyers don't itemize. They don't use those credits anyway, so they use one tax credit, and it's not going to affect them that much in the first place.
Mm, interesting, yeah. I'm not a big fan of tax credits of any sort. I like to see the market operate and that work for us, and we vote with our dollars, and I think that works pretty well. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Oh, no. It tax credits and tariffs are messing with the natural order of free markets. And as an economics major, I'm not a fan of that kind of thing, but there are certain places where things either need encouraged or protected. And the U.S. market is not necessarily one of those ones that needs protected.
Well, let's leave it at that because we're out of time. And it's always great to talk to you, Sam. I always like to exchange our opinions. And we're not always in 100% sync, but certainly I enjoy talking with you. And
it's always a great discussion.
And I look forward to doing it again. So thanks very much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Chris Teague. This is Jackie Redd with you, and it's listener question time. We love to get your listener questions, your questions and comments. So send them to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. Here's a question for you, Chris. What's your favorite sleeper car that no one talks about? Do you think now is the time to buy a car like that? This is from Carson in Erie, Pennsylvania. What's your favorite sleeper car?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I think looking back at it, I think it's the mid-2000s Lexus GS with V8 engine. I think it was a GS450 that you could get at the time. That engine is fantastic. Is it a good time to buy one? That specific car, probably not. I think all the ones I've seen are high mileage. Look, I think used car values are going to be up in the air for a little while, given the EVs are coming off the tax credits and things are going to be in flux for a little bit. I wouldn't expect prices to drop significantly, but I also don't have a crystal ball. So I think if you really want it, now is probably as good a time as any to buy it. But again, your financial situation matters more than my opinion.
Yeah. Well, my go-to, the answer is always Miata, right? I mean, when you're looking, Miata is one of those timeless cars that you can get and there's so many of them out there and so many different vintages and different types these days. But what a wonderful kind of Saturday morning car that is. And if you can get one very inexpensively, I think that's always something you can step up to. That essentially wraps up our show for this week. My new crime novel, Only One Thing Stays the Same, is now available in both ebook and paperback form at Amazon. We have links in the show notes to that book. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week and let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. Of course, we love terrestrial radio. And America on the Road is available as a podcast too, right, Chris?
That's right. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple, Spotify, all the others. Like us, download us, leave us a review. All of those things help us out, and you can take us with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm. We have YouTube and Rumble channels. Check those out. Please subscribe. We have a bunch of shorts these days on our YouTube channel, YouTube Shorts, so check those out. We're producing more of those lately, and they seem to be resonating out there, so check that out. Our thanks to Mercury Insurance for sponsoring the show and to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying it. Most of all, thanks to you for listening. We know you have a lot of choices out there, so we're honored by the fact you're listening to America on the Road. And please join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.